Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Welcome to the Joy of Motherhood podcast. This is Carol McLeod, mother of five grown children and the marmy to the seven wonders of my world. It's my delight to share with you my heart for mothering every week on this podcast that is strategically designed to encourage moms in all ages and stages of life. I know that it's so hard to be a mom some days, as well as so fulfilling. The frustrations of motherhood are enormous, but the blessings, well, they can be exponential. Let me encourage you today to count the blessings of motherhood rather than focus on the frustrations. I read a beautiful quote on Instagram lately that said, "I still remember the day that I prayed for the things that I have now." Being a mom is an answer to prayer, so be thankful for it. You know, motherhood really is a blessing. It's also a gateway to maturity. It's a calling to live beyond oneself. Motherhood, I've often said, is the greatest lesson in dying to self that a woman will ever experience. It is in motherhood that we realize all the ways that we are simply not like Jesus yet. So today, just for today, mom, lean into Jesus. Know that he's working on you and with you as you raise your family for the kingdom of God. You know, in one's life, every now and then you meet someone who both intrigues you as well as calls you higher. Angela Donadio is just such a woman. She is an author, a pastor's wife, a worship leader, and an adventurer. If you are the mother of teens or of young adults, you need to listen to this interview with Angela. Let me tell you right now, it is a rich interview full of wisdom. Recently, I asked my assistant, Danielle Stoltz, to spend some time with Angela and to go digging for gold in Angela's life. And my friend, she found it. You're going to love the wisdom and the heart of my new friend, Angela Donadio. Let's listen in.
Well, hello, this is Danielle Stoltz, and I'm so excited to be with you guys today. I have a very special guest, Angela Donadio. How are you?
Good morning, Danielle. I'm great. It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. Angela is an author, a speaker, a singer, songwriter. You do it all, don't you?
Different seasons of life. Thank you.
Yeah, so tell us, you are about to release a new book in September.
I am.
So tell us a little bit about that.
I am. It is called Finding Joy When Life is Out of Focus. And it is a study of Philippians for joy-thirsty women. And the journey started maybe about 5 years ago. I was writing it just as a devotional for myself, studying the book of Philippians because I felt the Lord say that the enemy was really after my joy. And so in my research of what would be the best thing to dive into to make sure I was staying in joy and maintaining it, Philippians talks a lot about joy. It mentions it 16 times in just four chapters. So I just set out to really focus on how to stay in joy for me as a personal discipline. And then about 4 months into it, I just had this whole three-ring binder full of notes. And I thought, wow, maybe this is, you know, a devotional or a Bible study, and it just kind of developed from there. So it's been a journey, but it's just so exciting to be releasing my first book, and I'm thrilled about it.
That is awesome. And you know we love joy around here because, you know, this is the Joy of Motherhood podcast, and obviously we just want to hear about what it's like to be a mom. You've got two almost adult children, correct?
I do. I have a daughter, Gabrielle, and she's 21. And then I have a son, a Christian, who's 18, and he just graduated from high school. And my daughter will be a senior at James Madison University. We live in Virginia. So yeah, it's a different, you know, different season for me being a mom of two young adults and just adapting and adjusting to their needs that are different. I feel like your children always need you, but they need you in different ways depending on their ages. And that's, you know, that's it. Requires a lot of adapting as a parent, and there's really no manual. So we're just kind of figuring this thing out and doing my best to kind of move from being the authority in their life to being an influencer in their life. And if you try to be too much of an authority, you lose your influence. So it's a fine line, and they're both still living in the home. My son just graduated, and my daughter is home, you know, in the summers from college. So really we have four adults in the home, and that's an interesting dynamic to work around each other.
Wow. And so you say there's no manual for being a mother, and it's so true. So how do you establish your manual for motherhood? How did you establish, you know, the rhythm and the routine in your home?
Sure. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I was really blessed to be raised in a Christian family. My parents were in the ministry. Jokingly, I said I would never be a pastor's wife, but, you know, be careful what you say you're not going to do. So I love being in the ministry, but I saw up close and personal some of the challenges that came with ministry. And part of that included the strain it puts on a family to balance, being a mom, being a pastor's wife, people's expectations. My husband was also a son of ministers, and he saw that same kind of, tension in his home of, you know, just how do I balance it all? And I think that's one of the greatest demands women have. When I travel, or especially at Pastor's Wives Conference, because I am a pastor's wife, I'm also an ordained minister, but my husband is the lead pastor of our church. And over, that is a recurrent question of how do I balance it all? And I don't think there's ever a final solution. I think balance is unique to the person, but I think understanding the season you're in, and I heard once at a conference to make both your children a part of your ministry and your ministry a part of your family, rather than trying to just keep it compartmentalized. I think that's ineffective. You can't compartmentalize your life like that. And we did, growing up, make sure our children saw the best parts of ministry. We didn't gossip around them or, you know, talk about, you know, difficult issues that you go through, because we didn't want them to have a negative feeling toward the Lord and to bring any of that, or if they saw pressures we were under, maybe to blame the church or blame people. We were very careful about that. We also made the decision to put our kids in public school. And that, again, those are personal decisions, but our kids were around the church all the time because of being in ministry, and we wanted them to want to be there. We didn't want it to be so oversaturated in their life that they resented it. My daughter is much more introverted than I am, and she models a little bit more of her personality like my husband. She's an actress, so she's your typical, like, turns it on the stage, but very quiet until she knows you well. So ministry can be hard on kids, and that was a unique challenge we found to make sure that we protected them and valued them. They've been the subject of a few stories, you know, in messages, but always in a way to be very positive. I feel very strongly about the way we speak about our children in front of other people is very important. And unfortunately, I hear, you know, mothers, whether it's labeling or just out of their own stress and depletion, you know, saying things that are damaging and destructive. And so that's been one frame we've tried to put around our family, is just, we haven't always honored it. You know, we're not perfect by any means. We're human, but trying to let them know they're loved and not under a microscope of ministry all the time, if that makes sense.
It definitely does. That's really great. And I know I was a pastor's kid for a season of my life, and it, you do have that pressure of, I've got to be perfect. You're sure. Under this microscope. And so that's amazing perspective to have as ministers. I love that. Talk about boundaries. I know with your when you're raising teens, you know, you want to kind of be still be that helicopter mom. I've got two little ones and I'm like, I always want to know what they're doing.
Sure.
But how do you establish those boundaries in their lives where they have that freedom, where they have that ability to grow and learn?
Absolutely. I feel like it's ever changing. It's almost a weekly basis. Because they're still in our home and they're not fully independent, but they are independent because they're 18 and 21. They can drive, they can work, they can, you know, I can't even check them in a medical doctor's anymore. I can't, you know, they're fully adults. And that is a unique, that window of 18 to wherever that is, that they're fully on their own, has its own unique challenges and dynamics. So I think establishing boundaries it requires constantly revisiting them and being pretty honest that, hey, this is a frustrating thing for me, or, you know, my daughter's a night owl. So let's just say she's coming in really late and she works at a restaurant and she's, you know, in a show. And so her hours are wonky, but then that can affect us if we're up early. And that seems like a little thing, but if it's night after night and you're on different schedules and you're sharing the same space, you've got to find ways to be respectful of each other and honor each other's not only routines, but what works best for them. And that takes a lot of communication. Sometimes it's calm communication and sometimes it's intense communication. When you have four adults, four different personalities, and four strong personalities in our own way. So I think boundaries is honoring each other's differences. And I think our country could use a little bit more of that, because if we can respect where someone else is coming from, we don't have to always agree with someone to honor them. You can still honor where their perspective is and find a place to say, I get that, but this is what I need for this to work better in our home, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I need to listen to this again, take some notes. That's great.
I'm trying to like coach myself as I'm talking. Like, I hope I'm even doing what I'm talking about. It's a weekly and a monthly revisiting challenge and being open that you do not have all the answers. You know, I was just reading an article a couple of weeks ago about the challenges that millennials are facing coming out of college, or whatever they call this next generation. I know they're on the edge of being millennial now, but that they're coming out and still facing so much insecurity about their future. And that is putting an inordinate amount of pressure on these 18 to 25-year-olds. And just reading that article gave me a different sense of perspective and empathy to not be so hard on where they are in this life at this season, because they are trying to figure it out. You know, they're not lazy. They're really working hard and in a very unsettling world. And so I want my home to be a place that they want to be, and that's a place of safety. And we've always entertained a lot. Our home has been a revolving door. We've had a lot of, you know, I mean, I had three girls staying there last weekend for a wedding, and that's just kind of the way that we've chosen to operate, because I want my kids to want to be there. You know, when they were little, we built a little movie theater in our basement and a little mini stage, and they could do their little plays in their costumes. And, you know, now they're all grown up. They don't want to do that, but we establish a sense that we would rather you be here, and we would rather you figure out life's issues with us and not apart from us. And that is messy, Danielle. It is not this cut and dry, you know, cookie cutter, wrap it up with a bow. It's messy, and parenting is messy, and it's not for the faint of heart. Communication is messy, but if you don't communicate, I think the biggest challenge I've seen with families is there's that window where they start to be a preteen and a teen, and communication becomes difficult. And if you don't lean into that struggle, it's really hard to rally that later on. And then beliefs get cemented, and then gaps begin to form. So against all odds, we've tried to keep the doors of communication open in our family.
That's so good, because obviously when you've got teenagers, you know, open to new opportunities, they see things at school, they see things on the internet and on social media.
Sure.
And if they're not in a place where they feel comfortable talking to you, if that communication has already been shut down, you
That's
know,
true.
Years ago, it's impossible for them to be able to ask you those questions, to learn from you.
Sure.
They've got to learn from somewhere else.
Well, in our home, I would hope that the conversation centers around how do we view whatever we're discussing through the lens of God's word. you know, you can have strong opinions, but the bottom line is what does the word say about this situation, and what should our response be? And, you know, daily there's opportunities just in what's going on in the world to discuss things, whether it's being an advocate for something you believe strongly in, or standing up for, you know, for those that are mistreated. All of our family, my husband's undergrad was pre-law before he went in to get his master's of divinity, and I advocate for pastors' wives in Africa. So it's no surprise that our family is strong advocates of what they believe in. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as your foundation is the Word of God and your filter ultimately is the Word of God. And I would rather dialogue about those things in the safety of our home, when you can just hash it out and keep going to what does the Word, and what should our response be to what's going on based on what the Word says about it.
I love that. That's so good. So tell me, as a mother, especially at a church where you're seeing all these strong women around you, mm-hmm. you know, you're in ministry where you see people all around the country that are, you know, leading their families in different ways. I'm sure comparison comes into play. Mm. How do you stop the enemy from helping you compare, you know, wanting to see other people's lives and their light and not understand what they're going through?
Sure. And it's difficult, Danielle. And I think when you have social media that basically just scrolls the highlight reel of your life and not the arguments and not the tough moments, I think it's important to just stay as transparent and honest as you can be. I also surround myself with women that are strong, brave women that have been through a lot, but that know who they are in Christ. And the more a woman knows who she is in Christ, the less likely she is to be shackled by comparison. Part of me growing up in the ministry, I'm not going to blame my parents because I'm my own person, and I was the oldest of three girls. So you put that petri dish of a microscope, and the way I was internally wired, I became very shackled by perfectionism early on. I was a classical pianist, and that leans toward perfectionism, and, you know, a straight-A student. And it was just this ladder of never feeling good enough. And I really had to fight that battle with the Lord. And I wrote about part of that in my book, and just seasons where perfectionism and health crisis, which all just kind of converged at one time in my life, forced me to take a really hard look at the way I was viewing myself, knowing that God loves me for me and that I do out of his love for me. And I had it backwards. I thought the more I did for him, the more he would love me. And that is debilitating. We can think it's noble, but it's really works-based righteousness just packaged in a different way. And so I think because I call myself a recovering perfectionist. I wouldn't say I'm 100% there, but there's a big difference between wanting excellence in your life and being crippled by perfectionism. And perfectionism goes very closely with being so worried about other people's expectations, and comparison gets a chokehold on you. So I wouldn't say I'm 100% free from it, but because that has been such a personal struggle of mine, I really was intentional about studying who I was in Christ and letting God redefine me, that he loved me for me. He's not going to love me more or less if I lost the use of my hands and I could never play for him again, or, you know, whatever it is that we think that gives us value. And I think that's where comparison comes in. We think someone else has more value than we do. If we can just know we're valuable because of who God says that we are, and I know that sounds really cliche, but it is a really difficult lesson to learn. And our society, the American culture, does not help women with that. They, you know, it definitely fosters comparison. So it's you got to be intentional. You got to be intentional about saying, you know, women should be completing one another and encouraging one another. That's another thing I write about in my book, that Paul is so blessed by his relationship with people, and he so lifts them up, that we were created for relationship. And if we understand that, we will be so much more at peace with who we are and giving ourselves freely in relationship with healthy boundaries. and not feeling like someone else's success diminishes me. You know, I heard once in a conference, and I don't even know if it was worded this way, but this is what stuck. If you want favor in your life, sow favor in the lives of others. And that became a bit of a mantra for me. Rather than being stingy with my grace, with my encouragement, with my support, that someone else being elevated in the kingdom or even here on earth, if we want to look at it in successful terms by society standard, does not take away from me. If I want favor, God's favor in my life, then my goal should be to sow favor in any way that could be in somebody else's life. And I feel like in that part of my life, I believe God has blessed me because I see that in my children. I do see I'm not a perfect mother, and I have certainly made my share of mistakes. And I think that's another part of mothering, Danielle, is being able to say, I'm sorry, and being able to say, I blew it. I did not handle that well, because that will encourage them to want to live with that same kind of honesty and vulnerability in their own life.
That's so good. Oh, my goodness, Angela. I feel like I could talk to you for an hour. I love everything that you're saying and just your passion for motherhood. It's so clear that you love your kids and love what God is teaching you through their lives. And
thank you so
thankful that you're here with us today. Oh, we're so excited about your new book coming out in September.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and so thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely, Danielle. Thank you.
Wow. Just wow. Don't you just feel that you have been in the presence of greatness? Angela's perspective and wisdom are both calming as well as challenging. I'd love to encourage you to order Angela's new book, Finding Joy When Life Is Out of Focus. It is a Bible study based on the book of Philippians, which, by the way, is just one of my very favorite books in the Bible. I believe that after listening to Angela's interview, you are going to be ready to go right out and order it today. Angela's book is sold on Amazon, CBD, and wherever fine books are sold. The name of that book is Finding Joy When Life Is Out of Focus by Angela Donadio. Well, today in closing, I'd like to pray for those of you who are parenting teenagers and young adults. It can be so hard to know when to hold on and when to let go. And it is in those moments that you need the strength and the wisdom of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for all of the moms today who are in this new season of life, parenting teenagers and young adults. Lord, we need wisdom. And your word says that if any of you lacks wisdom, we just need to ask and you will give it to us. So, Father, we're asking for wisdom to mother well these teenagers and young adults that you've given us. Father, help us to hold our tongues, to only speak in wisdom, and to guide them in the way eternal. Father, thank you for the gift of motherhood. Thank you for this opportunity, Father, to become more like you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I hope that you'll join me next time on The Joy of Motherhood as we discover all of the ways that being a mom delivers joy to an ordinary woman's life. And as always, I'd love to invite you to visit my website, which is justjoyministries.com. Take some time, fix yourself a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and read a devotional, listen to a Bible study, or spend some time shopping at the Just Joy store. I'd love to see you there. And also, if you've got any questions or suggestions, feel free to email me at carol@justjoyministries.com. And my friend, never forget to ring the joy out of an ordinary day of motherhood.